Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Alexey Agrachev, who is the CEO and co-founder of RetailNext, and Chitra Balasubramanian, who is the Senior VP Data Scientist for RetailNext as well. So welcome, guys. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us here. It's great to be here.
So let me give folks a little context about RetailNext, just so that we're on a level playing field. RetailNext is a really interesting company that delivers real-time analytics about what shoppers are doing in the physical store. And that's pretty important because that's certainly where a lot of retail spend is happening today, but also where a lot of the change in shopping behavior is playing out, and not necessarily in favor of more foot traffic in stores. Unfortunately, it's really about less foot traffic in stores. So before we get into some of the insights that you guys have been seeing over the last couple of months, Alexey, let me start with you. How do you guys actually collect the data? I understand that you do that for 800 million shoppers each year. How do you do it?
Yeah. So first, let me tell you, I mean, the kind of data we collect is, I'll walk you through the type of data, and then I'll talk about the technology that we use to get the data. Really, it's the 100% of our focus is on giving retailers information that can help them measure and improve their in-store experience. And today, we are able to get data about how many people walk through your front door, a lot of information about those people. So what percentage is male, female, age, approximate age buckets, how many of them are new customers that have never been to a store versus people that come back twice a week, twice a month. And then we can collect a lot of information about what people are doing inside the store, how much time they spend shopping, which parts of the store they go to, which merchandise they interact with, whether they interact with sales associates, how much time they spend waiting in line, what products they buy, don't buy, et cetera. And then recently, we've also been aggregating a lot of external data about the customers that shopped in your store, where else they shopped on the same day before they came to your store, where they shopped afterwards, how many of them are local, out of town, international tourists, et cetera. So that's the type of data we tend to collect. The goal was, when we started the company about 7 years ago, was to bring the type of analytics that are available for e-commerce into the physical environment to really help them measure and improve how they serve their customers. So the actual technologies that we use, first of all, we don't consider ourselves a video company or Wi-Fi or Bluetooth or a beacon company. We consider ourselves a retail analytics company. So we only do physical retail, and we start with the questions that we're trying to answer and then find whatever technologies we think are available. And we do think the technologies are, when it comes to capturing data, improving pretty rapidly. So today we use video as one source of data. So we use a computer vision algorithm, so no people ever look at video, but computer software can look at video and convert it into data. So video is the main source of data that gives us information about total number of people walking in, where people spend time in the store. It can also classify people as male, female, and approximate age automatically. So a lot of that information does come from video. We use Wi-Fi as a way to get additional data about new and repeat customers, since phones have a unique identifier. We know when the same phones come back. So we're getting more information. Again, in this case, all aggregated and anonymous data around how often people come back and how much time conditions, and you connect to a network. We actually are able to collect additional information about even what people's browsing behavior while they're inside the store. So, for example, if we know if people go to certain websites while they're inside the store, if they go to retail websites, we know what retail websites we go to, and even what products people look at and what the price of those products is and whether they save them in their basket. So you get a really good idea into the showrooming or webrooming type of behavior inside the stores. One of the other things that we do is we aggregate a lot of existing data within retail environments. So, for example, we do aggregate all the point-of-sale data. So every transaction that happens, every item that's bought, every discount that's applied, every return that's made, all that data we aggregate into our system. Retailers have time and attendance systems, so when sales associates clock in, clock out, we get that data. We pull in weather information. We put in the promotional data. So lots of existing data that we pull in, and the core of the company is, yeah, it is generating new data, but really the core of the company is making sense of that data and making it actionable and usable for our customers.
Wow, interesting. So video, it sounds like, is the lowest common denominator, because all stores have video for security purposes, or most of them do anyway.
Yep.
And then it's kind of a funnel. Then it's if you have a phone, Wi-Fi, if you log on, guest Wi-Fi, Beacons is probably in there as well.
Yep.
And then you're tied into to their point of sale systems. Is that also what you do?
Yep, we're tied into their point of sale system as well as usually a number of other systems that are already within the retail environment.
Interesting. And so you would probably be tracking me going into these stores, right? Do consumers know?
I mean, it's most of our customers are fairly proactive in communicating about the fact that they're using technology to kind of measure what's happening in their stores. I mean, depending on the technology used, it's up to the customers exactly how to communicate it. But pretty much everything I talk about is completely aggregated anonymous data, right? So right now, nothing I've talked about is around tracking individual customers or learning anything about individual customers. Having said that, there is definitely one of the things that a lot of our customers want to move towards and they're doing experimentation with is getting customers to opt in, and somebody has to very proactively opt in and tell a retailer, say that, hey, I want you to know when I, as an individual, come back into the store, what I do in the store, and the people will only do that if they think they're getting something in return. So I think there's a number of retailers and some other partners working on ways of offering real kind of in-store personalization. We don't see that happening on scale yet. So for those things, I think the communication is extremely important. When I talked about guest Wi-Fi, the type of analytics that guest Wi-Fi enable, that is communicated. So when you connect your free Wi-Fi, when a welcome page comes in, it actually very clearly, usually right up front, says, hey, if you connect, you're going to enable us to collect this data. So that part is communicated extremely clearly.
I'm sure that you get some fascinating insights from just looking at that data alone. But let's move on to talk a little bit about the trends, and maybe this is where, Chitra, you can shed some light on what shoppers are actually now doing in the stores. So I looked at your report from October, the month that just ended, and taking a look at it, it looks like it's a pretty mixed bag. It looks like sales were down, foot traffic was down, the transaction value was down, yet there were some glimmers of hope. Sales per shopper slightly up, but why such a mixed bag in October? Were you expecting that? What would retailers take away from your data set looking at October's results?
Well, I really think that, you know, though you see the numbers sort of representing a mixed bag, they really do make a lot of sense with respect to each other. So, you know, while we did see a traffic decline in the month of October, sales did not decline to the same degree as traffic, and that really was driven largely by that improvement in conversion that we saw. Over the last 5 or 6 months, we've seen that, you know, sales per shopper, which is really, you know, how much, you know, revenue a typical shopper walking through the door can contribute towards the overall sales, has actually been positive over the prior year. So what that means is, you know, though there's a decline in traffic in some months, you're not seeing a sales decline to the same extent, and that's really because those who are walking in are spending more on average compared to the previous year. And in some cases, you know, we've seen sales per shopper up almost 5.5% in the last few months. So really that is sort of a glimmer of hope, I would say, for retailers. And the idea that those who have done their research, have made it into the store, are really spending more and converting than they have in the prior year. So I think going into the big Thanksgiving weekend shopping events as well as holiday shopping, I think the idea that people are spending more on average and that there tends to be a higher rate of conversion compared to the prior year is really going to be a positive effect for retailers looking to make the most of the traffic that reaches their doors.
Interesting. So it sounds like shoppers are using different tools to be more efficient when they walk into the stores. Are they spending as much time in stores, do you know?
You know, that is something that, you know, we have the ability to measure in some environments. But, you know, I think, you know, on the whole, it's all about making the most of that shopping trip, you know, by for retailers who use our technology, you know, they're really able to optimize the environment to reduce things like, you know, the amount of time people wait in queues or to service customers in a more efficient way. So those those types of activities can certainly lead to reducing the amount of time people, you know, waste in the store, but at the same time, it can encourage customers to really, you know, focus their time on finding the right products and discovering the items that suit them the most.
Sure, increasing the quality time in the store versus the standing in line time.
Exactly.
So let's talk about November. I think a lot of people believe that November is a very strong month for shopping because of Black Friday and the Thanksgiving weekend, which typically gets people into the stores shopping for holiday. Is that typically the case? What do you think November will hold for retailers, and what has it held in the past for them?
Sure. So, you know, November is a pretty giant month for retailers. Black Friday typically accounts for it's typically the top shopping day of the year for many retailers. So it'll continue to hold a very important place in, you know, retailers' overall sales. That being said, I think November started off a little bit rough since the 1st of November, which fell on a Saturday, immediately followed Halloween this year. Mm-hmm. So that made for a tougher transition into that holiday kind of environment. That being said, I believe that retailers will be able to catch up in a big way this upcoming Thanksgiving weekend. You know, a lot of retailers are planning on opening up their doors on Thanksgiving Day, increasing the number of openings if they already had in the prior year. You know, I think from the prior year, retailers learned, you know, through the information that we put out there that, you know, opening doors on Thursday may result in, you know, fewer folks shopping on the weekend, right? So the right. idea of helping customers to come back through bounce backs, other types of promotions is something that I think retailers will be more cognizant of this coming year for Thanksgiving, to really utilize that entire weekend for reaching out to their customers.
It's interesting, as someone who hosts Thanksgiving dinner for family, it's nice to be able to send them on errands while I'm cooking,
right.
even though I know it's unpleasant for people who have to work there. So talk a little bit about December. How do you believe, which is obviously the big shopping month for most retailers, how do you think December is shaping up? And in particular, what are you talking to your retail clients about in terms of getting more foot traffic into their stores? Are you offering any advice to help them maximize those shopping days that are so important to them?
Yeah, so December this year is very interesting, and I think the calendar, you know, of December this year is going to be very favorable to retailers. You know, just having Christmas one day later this year as compared to the prior year gives shoppers sort of an extra day of the week to really get in and kind of do their shopping. That being said, Christmas also falls on a Thursday this year, which means the period after Christmas, the 26th through the 28th, are going to be particularly strong. While those sort of post-Christmas days have tended to be high returns days or days when people redeem gift cards and other types of gifts they've received, I really think there's a huge opportunity this year for retailers to experience sort of original transactions taking place that weekend, i.e. not just returns or returns plus, you know, maybe purchasing something in exchange for that return. So I think we're going to see a big opportunity after Christmas this year. We'll continue to see the couple of Saturdays before Christmas as very, very big traffic days this year.
So this is really fascinating, because I think there are a lot of things that are coming together that give consumers a little bit more confidence in spending and shopping. But of course, there's the online channel that is available to more and more consumers, and, you know, is taking a lot of interest and momentum away from actually going into the physical stores. What do your retailers tell you about their concerns over that trend, the online cannibalizing the in-store foot traffic? Are they putting the data that you're giving them together and drawing any conclusions?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately, you know, most of our retailers have both an online presence as well as a sort of physical presence. And, you know, ultimately they do look at their businesses holistically, right? So they want to be able to, you know, drive customers who are online customers into the store. Those who are in store, they want to, you know, have them experience the online version of the brand as well, which really should be a consistent one. But ultimately, it's about having synergies between the channels, which is what our retailers are looking to do. They're looking, you know, for us to help in that particular mission. But ultimately, it's about, you know, how do we make the most of the different channels? How do we engage our customer, our customers through all of our channels in that consistent way? So it's really about how do we look at all of these channels as opposed to, you know, one cannibalizing the other. So they'll look into, you know, activities or offerings such as, you know, buying online, picking up in store, or offering, you know, returns, you know, in an easy way within the store if you purchased online. So I think we're going to see more and more of these types of initiatives that bridge the different channels.
So Alexi and Chitraj, a final question before we sign off. What about this whole process, the capture of analytics of what shoppers are doing in-store has surprised you the most over the last 7 years that you've been doing? Any particular insights or thoughts that come to mind, things that you didn't expect you'd discover from looking at all of your data?
I think, well, more on the macro level, to me, as somebody who initially 7 years ago when we started came from outside of retail, the biggest surprise was just how much low-hanging fruit there is within almost every single retail store we looked at. And at this point, this is thousands and thousands of stores around the world across almost 50 countries. And in every one of them, once people start actually measuring, using technology to understand how their customers shop their store and where their shopping trip may break down, there's so much low-hanging fruit where you can make slight changes to your layout, move displays, slight changes to your merchandise, slight changes to the way you incentivize or align your staffing with your customer demands, and the results can be pretty dramatic. And, I mean, our view in general that the retail experience, as you mentioned earlier, is changing, where if you run physical stores, you cannot compete based on product availability and price alone. So good merchandising to me is sort of a table stakes at this point. That cannot be a differentiator. So you have to compete based on your in-store experience. And that's where the ability to drive your comparable store sales up through just minor changes as you're learning what the customers is doing is pretty dramatic. I mean, we've seen literally just moving things like in a shoe department, moving benches away from the wall so people have more, you know, more space to shop and interact with the walls, generate over 20% sales increase for the department. And those things become obvious once you start looking at the data. So, and again, we haven't seen an exception to a – we haven't seen a store where they haven't identified things within a few months where you could make a big impact.
Wow. That is interesting. I mean, it does show that you can get a return on the investment of looking at data that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with discounting your product. It can be on – little things that just make merchandise more accessible and available, and sales associates more accessible and available too, I would imagine.
Yep. No, absolutely. It is, you know, it is to us the way the stores that are doing really well, it is going to be because they focus on the experience that they for their customers. And in-store analytics for us, it's all about, it's not about, you know, collecting data about people and doing something random with that data. It is all about giving retailers tools to help measure, to help listen to their customers and on a bigger scale and then respond to them where you improve your experience. And yeah, and I think historically most retail organizations have been run by people that came out of merchandising, and they've always underestimated how much you can drive through, like I said, through just, you know, creating a better experience in the stores, how much you can increase your sales through that.
Well, and now there are tools available to them that give them the opportunity to know how to do that. I think it's, you know, it's been tough for retailers in the past to know because they've had limitations in terms of looking at the kind of data that you provide as an example and the tools like mobile devices to communicate with consumers the way they can do today. So it's a, you know, really interesting opportunity for retail to take advantage of the learnings and the technology and the data to really create that in-store experience that you believe and I agree is really, really critical.
Absolutely.
Well, Alexei Chitra, it was fascinating to talk to you guys. Thanks very much for your time. Look forward to checking back in with you as the results of November and the holiday season become known to see what exactly happened. Thanks again.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.